Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first of two different town hall calls that LeapFrog is holding for the 2022 LeapFrog Hospital Survey. We're going to get started in just a couple minutes. While people are joining, I just want to go over some housekeeping items. First, throughout today's webinar, participants will be able to ask questions by selecting the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. There's a screenshot of it here in the upper right-hand corner of this slide. Once the icon has been selected, a Q&A box will appear for you to type your questions. Please remember, all participants will be able to view all of the questions throughout the duration of the webinar. If you have a question that you don't want other folks on the webinar today to view, please direct those to our help desk. At helpdesk@leapfrog-group.org. And I'll give those reminders again in just a couple of minutes as people start to join. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for today's LeapFrog Hospital Survey Town Hall call. We're going to get started in just a couple minutes. In the meantime, just a reminder that we will be using the Zoom Q&A feature today. You can ask questions throughout the presentation by selecting that Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. Once you select the icon, a Q&A box will appear. You can type in your questions. We will have our help desk coordinators joining us today that will be providing you answers in real time. All participants will be able to view your questions during today's webinar. But again, you won't have to wait until the end of the presentation to ask questions. We have folks joining us today that will be answering your questions live throughout the entire presentation. And again, we'll get started in just a couple minutes. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you're just joining us, welcome to the 2022 LeapFrog Hospital Survey Town Hall call. We're going to get started in just a minute as I see lots of folks are still joining. Just one quick reminder, we're going to be using the Zoom Q&A feature today. This means that participants will be able to ask questions throughout the presentation by selecting the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. Once you select the icon, a Q&A box will appear for you to type in your questions. All participants will be able to view your questions throughout the duration of the webinar. And we have several help desk coordinators joining us today who will be answering those questions in live time. And so please don't hold your questions till the end. You can ask them throughout the entire presentation today. I'm going to give folks about 30 more seconds to join, and then we will go ahead and get started. So thank you so much for your patience. Okay, welcome to the 2022 LeapFrog Hospital Survey Town Hall call. We are holding two town hall calls this spring, one today and one on May 11th. The content and information shared on both town hall calls will be exactly the same. So if you're attending today, there's no need to also register for the May 11th session. If you are registered for both after today, if you feel like you don't need to attend the second session, please do cancel your registration. Both of the sessions filled up very quickly this year. and are full. And we've been contacted by several hospitals trying to join the May 11th session. So again, if you're registered for both today and May 11th, and you no longer need to attend May 11th, please do go ahead and cancel that registration. My name is Missy Danforth. I'm the Vice President for Healthcare Ratings. I'm really excited to have an hour with you today to talk about some of the major updates to the 2022 LeapFrog Hospital Survey. As a reminder, we'll be using the Zoom Q&A feature throughout today's presentation. Select the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen to type your questions. Once the icon has been selected, a Q&A box will appear. We have help desk coordinators joining us today that will be answering these questions in real time. As a reminder, all participants will be able to view all of your questions throughout the duration of the webinar. Please pay close attention as some questions may be answered live. So we will be watching the Q&A box closely. If we see that we're receiving several of the same question, one of our coordinators will ask your question live, and then I will answer it on today's call. A copy of this recording will be available tomorrow on our website. So you'll be able to download both the slides and this recording. So you'll have information for any of the questions and answers that we do live today. And then finally and importantly, please reserve the Zoom chat feature to report technical issues only. So the Zoom chat feature should be used for technical issues only. We won't be answering any content related questions in the chat feature. So first, an overview of the hospital survey. Every year, we go through a robust annual process starting in August and September, where the survey team and our national expert panelists set goals, review the latest measures, review changes to measures endorsement status, consider member and hospital recommendations from the previous year and get ready for the upcoming year. In November, we publish a document that includes the proposed changes for the upcoming survey, and we also hold a 30-day public comment period. Hospitals and other stakeholders, including employers and purchasers, as well as health plans, are invited to share comments and feedback on the proposed changes. This year, we received over 150 individual comments. In January, LeapFrog holds a national pilot test, and the new survey is actually tested with about 30 to 35 hospitals and health systems nationwide. The participants receive a hard copy, a Word version of the survey and the scoring algorithms, and are asked to provide feedback. So not answer the questions, but actually provide feedback on the questions and updates to measure specifications and scoring algorithms. In February and March, we program our online survey tool and update all of our survey materials. We publish a summary of changes every year on our website in March, and the survey opens April 1st of each year. Our goals for the hospital survey are several. So first, we are always aiming to expand the survey to more hospitals by including measures that are relevant to rural hospitals, urban hospitals, and pediatric hospitals. And over the past several years, we've had many specialty hospitals, including specialty surgical hospitals, also participate in the survey. We also have a goal of keeping the reporting burden as low as possible by continuing to align with other national performance measurement entities, such as the CDC, CMS, the Joint Commission, and national registries, such as STS and the Vermont Oxford Network. We also include cutting edge measures that improve safety, quality, and efficiency, and that may not be collected anywhere else. But we do strive to maintain a consistent measurement structure so hospitals can use their survey results for benchmarking and quality improvement purposes over time. And then finally, we work to ensure that the survey results are used by our employer members, purchasers, and payers in their own public reporting accountability and value-based payment programs. The survey includes 10 sections. Each of the sections is organized in the same format, and both the hard copy of the survey, which is available in a Word version and a PDF version, as well as the online survey tool. Each section begins with general information about the LeapFrog standard, reporting periods to provide you with specific periods of time to answer each set of questions, survey question, which may include references to endnotes or FAQs. The survey tool questions and endnotes match the online survey tool exactly, so you can actually access the endnotes in the online survey tool as a pop-up. The questions are then followed by an affirmation of accuracy that must be completed by your hospital CEO or chief administrative officer, or by an individual that has been designated by the hospital CEO. The affirmation of accuracy statements are something that need to be completed following every section. So there's 10 separate affirmation of accuracy statements that need to be completed to submit the survey. And then finally, and importantly, is reference information. This includes information on what's new, as well as change summaries, if any are issued after April 1st. It also includes measure specifications, answers to frequently asked questions, and other notes. It's extremely important that if you have others on your team helping you collect the data needed to submit your survey, you ensure that they not only have the reporting periods and the survey questions, but also the reference information and the scoring algorithm document, which is linked throughout the hard copy of the survey. The 2022 survey begins with a hospital profile, which must be completed in the online survey tool before you can access the survey dashboard. In addition, the survey includes basic hospital information, CPOE, adult and complex surgeries, maternity care, ICU physician staffing, patient safety practices, a section on managing serious errors, medication safety, pediatric care, and finally, outpatient procedures. Now I'm going to review some submission guidelines for this year. So first, section one, basic hospital information, as well as section two, CPOE, section four, maternity care, section five, ICU staffing, and section six, patient safety practices, are required in order to submit a survey via the online survey tool. So in order for the submit button on the online survey tool to activate, sections one, two, four, five, and six must be completed and affirmed. However, hospitals are strongly urged to submit all sections of the survey and can indicate within a section if a measure does not apply. So if you're a pediatric hospital and you don't deliver babies, you're not going to skip section four. You're going to actually report in section four that you don't perform newborn deliveries. So it's very important that you report not performing the service rather than skipping the entire section. One other important thing to note is that the CPOE evaluation tool is included in section two of the hospital survey for adult and general hospitals this year. The CPOE tool button is going to be accessible from the survey dashboard once you have completed and affirmed section two. So if you're trying to get your CPOE test out of the way early, all you need to do is complete and affirm section two. You can then log back into the survey and complete and affirm sections one, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and 10, and submit your survey at that time. But only section two needs to be completed and affirmed in order to take the CPOE evaluation tool. I want to review some of the deadlines today. So the first is the submission deadline for the 2022 survey will be June 30th. For the past 2 years, we've extended that deadline due to COVID-19, but this year we are going back to our historic submission deadlines. This means that hospitals that submit a survey by June 30th will have their survey results publicly reported on July 25th. After July, survey results will be updated the fifth business day of the month to reflect surveys submitted by the end of the previous month. So that means if you miss the June 30th submission deadline and submit your survey in July, you will see your results scored and publicly reported on our website within the first 5 days of August. Hospitals that don't submit a survey by June 30th will initially be publicly reported as declined to respond until your surveys have been submitted. On July 12th, the hospital details page will go live. Hospitals that submitted a survey by June 30th will be able to view their survey results on the confidential hospital details page, which is linked at the very top of the survey dashboard. So it's one of those green buttons right above the survey dashboard. The hospital details page will include your NHSN data for the five healthcare associated infection measures, your Vermont Oxford network data, if you perform high risk deliveries and are reporting on Vaughan's death or morbidity measure, as well as the CMS outpatient data for OP31 and OP32, if those measures are applicable to your hospital. So again, if you're able to meet that June 30th deadline, please make sure that you log into the survey dashboard on July 12th so you have the opportunity to review your survey results prior to them being publicly reported on July 25th. July 25th, the publicly reported results will go live on our website, ratings.leapfroggroup.org. And it is important that you review those scored results to make sure that your survey was submitted accurately and completely. The next important deadline is August 31st. This is our top hospital deadline. Hospitals that want to be eligible to receive a LeapFrog Top Hospital Award. And as a reminder, we have top general hospitals, top teaching hospitals, top children's hospitals, and top rural hospitals must submit a survey, including all applicable sections by August 31st. And that is a hard deadline. August 31st is also the snapshot date for the fall 2022 safety grade. This is the date that LeapFrog will obtain public data from either CMS or the LeapFrog Hospital Survey to calculate the fall 2022 hospital safety grades. All data, including survey results, must be finalized by this date. What does that mean? It means you should not wait till August 31st to submit your survey if you want that data to be used in the safety grade. You should really try to meet that June 30th deadline so you can be included in the first of our monthly data verification reviews. That's an opportunity to catch any data reporting errors or data entry errors, correct them, and make sure your survey results are accurate and final prior to them being used for the hospital safety grade. November 30th is the late submission and performance deadline. The 2022 survey will close to new submissions on November 30th. That is a hard deadline. No resubmissions that reflect updates to performance can be made after this date. No new survey sections can be submitted after this date. In addition, the CPOE evaluation tool will go offline at midnight on November 30th. Only hospitals that have submitted a survey by November 30th will be able to log into the online survey tool to make data entry corrections, meaning to correct data entry errors or reporting errors in response to our monthly data review to previously submitted sections during the months of December and January. So what does that mean? It means that if you haven't submitted Section 9, pediatric care, by November 30th, you're not going to be able to do that in December or January. If you have an update to your performance, maybe on hand hygiene, those updates have to be submitted by November 30th. If you make an update to your survey to reflect a change in performance in December or January, those updates will not be scored and will not be publicly reported. And then finally, January 31st is the corrections deadline. So hospitals that need to correct the data entry error or to respond to one of our monthly data review messages, you have until January 31st to do so. On January 31st at midnight, the survey actually comes down and then no one can access it, hospitals or LeapFrog staff. In addition, this year, LeapFrog is continuing its several protocols to ensure the accuracy of survey responses submitted via the online survey tool. This includes requiring CEO or designee of the CEO to affirm every section before it can be submitted. It includes electronic warnings in the online survey tool that you can see before you submit your survey and actually correct before you submit your survey. It includes our extensive monthly data verification, where we review every response submitted that month via the LeapFrog Hospital Survey, identify outliers, potential data entry errors, potential reporting errors, and send out emails to your primary survey contact, secondary survey contact, and system contact if applicable, and you have 30 days to respond to those messages. We will also be continuing our monthly documentation requirements, where hospitals are randomly selected to submit documentation, verifying the accuracy of the responses you submitted via the LeapFrog Hospital Survey. And then finally this year, LeapFrog is continuing our virtual on-site data verification. More information can be found on LeapFrog's website on the data accuracy webpage. So now I want to review some of the notes on changes that we made in 2020 and 2021 due to COVID-19. So as we've already discussed, we are going to be continuing our virtual verification program. We are aiming to go back to on-site data verification in 2023. Hospitals selected for the 2022 virtual verifications will be notified by email by June 1st. In addition, LeapFrog is continuing and actually is making permanent a reduction in the sample size requirements for several measures on the survey that require chart abstraction or case review. So that includes early elective deliveries, cesarean birth, bilirubin screening, DVT prophylaxis, and medication safety for outpatient procedures. So for these five sections of the survey, if your hospital is having to do sampling, you will only need to sample 30 cases this year and also moving forward. And that's down from 60 cases in previous years. There are some things, though, that we put in place due to COVID in both 2020 and or 2021 that we'll be discontinuing this year. And the first is the submission deadline, which we just reviewed. So we had extended the submission deadline last year to July 31st. This year, the submission deadline will be June 30th. And as always, the late submission and performance update deadline will continue to be November 30th. We are also, though, discontinuing some updates we had made specifically to the reporting periods for several sections. So for section 3, adult and pediatric complex surgery, section 4, maternity care, and section 10C, volume of outpatient procedures, in 2021, due to known disruptions in services due to COVID, we allowed hospitals to report on a much older reporting period, so either 2019 or 2020. We are discontinuing that change, and this year, hospitals will be required to report if they're submitting their survey prior to September 1st on calendar year 2021 data. I will note that for complex adult and pediatric procedures, we will be adding a note on our publicly reported website to indicate to visitors who are looking at our survey results that the volumes of those surgeries may have been impacted by COVID-19 and may not reflect normal operations. And so for those complex surgeries, again, because we are asking you to report on calendar year 2021, we will be adding a note for each of those procedures on our public reporting website. Next, for section 6, we have a couple safe practices, including Safe Practice 1, Leadership Structures and Systems, and Safe Practice 9, Nursing Workforce, where we had been allowing hospitals for the past 2 years to report on safe practice elements implemented in the past 24 months. This year, you'll be asked to report on practices implemented within the past 12 months. For Safe Practice 2, which is Culture of Safety, we had been allowing hospitals to report on culture of safety surveys administered within the last 36 months, then additional practices that were implemented in the last 24 months. But this year, we're going back again to our historic reporting periods, and hospitals will report on culture of safety surveys administered within the past 24 months and additional safe practice elements implemented within the past 12 months. And then finally, for Section 7B, healthcare-associated infections, Last year, we had aligned with CMS and excluded the first two quarters of 2020 data. So we were basically using four quarters, but they were not continuous quarters. In 2022, LeapFrog is going to report 12 months of continuous data, which will be all four quarters of 2021. So calendar year 2021 will be used for our June and August data downloads for those five HAI measures. And then the last two quarters of 2021 and the first two quarters of 2022 will be used for our second two NHSN data downloads in October and in December. Next, in the previous year, we were giving adult and general hospitals two options to achieve our CPOE standard. One was based only on implementation status, so the percentage of inpatient medication orders entered through your CPOE system. The second option was based on both the implementation status and the results from the CPOE evaluation tool, particularly the adult inpatient test. This year, we're going to revert to our historical standard, and all adult and general hospitals will be scored on both their implementation status, so the percentage of inpatient medication orders entered through the CPOE system, as well as the score from the CPOE evaluation tool. Hospitals that are general acute care hospitals and don't take the CPOE tool will be scored as limited achievement. There are no changes to the scoring algorithm for pediatric hospitals. Again, this year, there is no pediatric CPOE tool. So pediatric hospitals will continue to be scored on implementation status only. So now I wanted to cover some of the major updates to the 2022 survey content. The slides I'm going to be presenting next aren't a comprehensive list of all of the updates, but they are the most significant updates. Again, the hard copy of the survey is available on our website, leapfroggroup.org. So if you have questions about any additional updates that weren't covered today, please go ahead and download the hard copy of the survey, and then you can contact the help desk with any additional questions. So let's start with section one, basic hospital information. I'm going to share some information about scoring and public reporting for billing ethics, updates to health equity questions, and then some new optional questions, which will not be scored or publicly reported this year, on informed consent. So first, billing ethics. LeapFrog is removing the price transparency, network matching, and out-of-network services domains from billing ethics as new legislation and federal rulemaking has set legal standards that supersede LeapFrog standards. We are, however, retaining and requiring that hospitals answer three questions in the billing ethics domain. These questions were updated based on public comments and feedback received from hospitals that participated in our national pilot. They include questions on elements included in the bill, patients' access to a billing representative who within 5 days of being contacted can investigate errors, negotiate a payment plan, and negotiate a discount. The third question focuses on whether or not hospitals are suing patients or taking other legal action against patients for later unpaid bills. As a reminder, patients with whom your hospital has entered into a written agreement specifying a set price for a service are not included in the question about legal action. So again, if your hospital has entered into written agreements with patients specifying a price for a medical service, these patients are not included in the question about legal action. Responses to the billing ethics questions will be scored and publicly reported in 2022. And these questions are actually not only included on our hospital survey, but ambulatory surgery centers through LeapFrog's ASC survey will be answering these questions as well. To achieve the standard, the hospital will need to provide every patient with a billing statement or master itemized bill within 30 days of final claims adjudication that includes all 10 required elements listed in question one. The hospital also needs to give patients instructions for contacting a billing representative who has the authority to do all of the three things outlined in question number two within 5 business days. And then finally, the hospital needs not take action, legal action against patients for later insufficient payment of a bill. Again, this excludes those patients for which your hospital has entered into a written agreement. LeapFrog is requiring a set of questions related to health equity. These questions have been significantly updated based on public comments, pilot feedback, and a review from our national advisory group made up of hospitals and health systems leaders. The updated questions, we think, do a better job of assessing a hospital's specific actions regarding the collection of patient self-identified demographic data, including race, ethnicity, primary language, sexual orientation, and gender identity, and also the use of that data. Even though the questions are required this year, they will not be scored and not be publicly reported. And finally, we've added a new optional set of questions. Optional means you can skip this section. You're still going to be able to affirm and submit section one. So these optional questions this year are focused on informed consent. We are adding this new evidence-based standard to assess a hospital's informed consent process and also their actual consent forms. The standard is made up of three domains: internal training and education, the content of informed consent forms, and the process of gaining informed consent. Based on both public comments and feedback received from hospitals that participated in the pilot, we made several updates to the questions that we initially put out for public comment in November. Even if you do not answer these questions this year, because again, they are optional, you always have an opportunity to review them and provide feedback to the help desk so we can improve them for 2023. Next, I want to go over a couple of major updates related to CPOE, including the scoring algorithm for adult and general hospitals, and also some notes on the CPOE evaluation tool itself. So first, as I already described, if you're an adult or general hospital this year, in order to achieve the standard, you have to take the adult inpatient test via the CPOE evaluation tool. You'll see there's actually two opportunities to achieve our standard. Hospitals that have 75 to 84% of all inpatient medication orders entered through their CPOE system, and then are scored as full demonstration on the CPOE evaluation tool, or hospitals that hit 85% or greater of all inpatient medication orders entered through their CPOE system, and then are scored as full demonstration on the CPOE evaluation tool. You'll see there's several opportunities to earn partial credit, but hospitals that don't take the CPOE evaluation test and only report on implementation status will be scored as limited achievement. The CPOE tools I described will be available from the survey dashboard once you complete and affirm section two. If you just complete it and don't affirm it, you won't see the button. You need to complete and affirm section two. You will not be able to submit the survey, however, including the results from your CPOE test, until all five required sections have been completed and affirmed, right? So after you do your CPOE test, you've got to go back and complete the rest of the survey in order for that information to be submitted to us. We had originally announced moving the CPOE tool to a new platform and decided not to do that. With all of the other changes that hospitals are going through right now and additional changes to the survey, we decided to stay on the same platform. So hospitals that were familiar with that platform should be able to smoothly take that test and have the same process as they've used in previous years. Again, you will be accessing the same version as of the CPOE test as you have been in previous years, with one exception. We used to have some questions on the EHR application included in the CPOE tool. Those questions on vendor, product, and formulary are now included in section 2B of the online survey tool. Those questions are never scored and never publicly reported. They're used in research by the measure developers. Next, section 3, inpatient surgery. I want to talk about the scoring algorithm and reporting on the use of the safe surgery checklist. So last year, our national expert panels for inpatient surgery and outpatient surgery recommended that we include questions on the use of a safe surgery checklist for inpatient surgery as well as outpatient surgery. So for the past 2 years, we've been asking about the use of a safe surgery checklist for outpatient surgery only. And now the same question are going to be asked regarding the use of a safe surgery checklist for those procedures in Section 3A, those high-risk procedures, and those procedures in Section 10C, those outpatient same-day procedures. We are, in order to achieve the standard, hospitals have to use a safe surgery checklist on all patients undergoing one of the procedures in Section 3A, if you do them. If you don't do any of the procedures, you won't even answer these questions. The hospital's checklist has to include all of the safe surgery checklist elements that we list in questions 3, 4, and 5. And these elements must be verbalized in the presence of the appropriate personnel listed in questions 3, 4, and 5. The hospital has to complete an audit of at least 15 patients and documented adherence to the checklist. So if you say you're using a checklist on all patients and you say that the checklist includes all of the elements that we're asking you to include and that the elements are being verbalized in the presence of the personnel that we're asking you to have in the room, the next thing to do is to make sure that it's actually happening. And so we're asking you to just do a sample of cases, just 15 patients. To achieve the standard, the hospital must have a documented adherence to the checklist for at least 90% of the patients included in the audit. So we're looking for 90% of the patients, of the 15 patients included in the audit, for you to document that the checklist was completed. In regards to Section 4, maternity care, just one thing I wanted to review regarding the participation in the Vermont Oxford Network and their data share agreement with Leapfrog. So hospitals that participate in VON and report on the death or morbidity outcome measure can enter their VON transfer code in the profile section of the survey. If you gave us this code in 2021, this field will be pre-populated for you. So when you log into your survey and check your profile, if you gave us a VON ID last year, you should see it pre-populated there this year. If you need to update it, no problem, just contact the help desk. For hospitals that provide an accurate VON transfer code, we will obtain data directly from VON for the death or morbidity measure. If you also complete a data sharing authorization letter and submit that letter to VON by June 15th. So don't submit the letter to Leapfrog. The letter has to be completed and submitted to the Vermont Oxford Network by June 15th. You also have to submit your, you also have to select VON National Performance Measure in question 3 in section 4F and submit section 4 of the Leapfrog Hospital Survey by the deadline. If you are not sure if you have a data sharing agreement from 2021 in place or not, please contact the help desk now. That will give you enough time to complete your data sharing authorization letter and submit it to VON prior to June 15th. So don't wait. If you can't remember if you did one last year or you just want to confirm that you have one in place, please contact the help desk. We have a list and we can confirm that information for you. Next, section 6, patient safety practice. We have one major change regarding the scoring algorithm for hand hygiene. So this year, for the first time since we launched our new standard back in 2019, we're offering an alternative for hospitals to achieve the standard. So based on public comments and feedback we received from hospitals that participated in our national pilot, we're offering an alternative path to achieve the hand hygiene standard that requires hospitals to monitor 100 hand hygiene opportunities rather than 200 hand hygiene opportunities per unit per month. But you need to meet all other elements for the remaining domains, including monitoring and feedback, training and education, infrastructure, and culture. So again, if you're only going to monitor 100 hand hygiene opportunities per unit per month, you will need to meet all other elements for the remaining domains, monitoring and feedback, training and education, infrastructure and culture. the historic path to achieve the standard remains in place. So that means this year, if your hospital responds yes to all of the questions in the monitoring domain, including question 8 to indicate that you have collected compliance data on at least 200 hand hygiene opportunities, or at least the number of hand hygiene opportunities outlined in the tables we provide in the FAQs, each month in each patient care unit, and used hand hygiene coaches or compliance observers to provide individuals who touch patients or who touch items that will be used by patients with feedback on both when they are and are not compliant with performing hand hygiene, and responded yes to all of the questions pertaining to the monitoring method used. And again, that can either be electronic compliance monitoring or direct observation. And the hospital responds yes to all the questions in the feedback domain, you then only need to respond yes to 2 of the 3 following domains. So it's basically monitoring and feedback, as well as training and education, infrastructure, or culture domains. So you just need 2 of these 3 domains. If you choose the alternative path to achieve the standard, meaning that you respond yes to all of the questions in the monitoring domain, including question 9, indicating that your hospital collects hand hygiene compliance data on at least 100 hand hygiene opportunities, or at least the number of hand hygiene opportunities outlined in a set of tables that we reference from the FAQs, each month in each patient care unit. So 100 in each month, each patient care unit, plus you're using the hand hygiene coaches or compliance observers, plus you're saying yes to all the questions pertaining to the monitoring method. You then have to respond yes to all the other questions in all 4 domains: feedback, training and education, infrastructure, and culture. So again, the trade-off between 200 hand hygiene opportunities or 100 hand hygiene opportunities is you do have to have all of these elements of these additional domains in place. Hospitals in all 4 performance categories for the hand hygiene standard will be publicly reported accordingly. And all 4 performance categories will be used to calculate the fall 2022 hospital safety grade. Following the publication of 2022 survey results on July 25th, we'll review the distribution of performance categories for the hand hygiene measure. And only at that time will we assign points to each of the performance categories for the purpose of calculating the hospital safety grade beginning this fall. In section 7, managing serious errors, just a reminder about our reporting periods and data download date. So hospitals, if they have not done so in a previous year, must join our NHSN group by June 21st. We'll download the data from NHSN for all current group members on June 22nd. The data downloaded from NHSN will be scored and publicly reported for hospitals that have submitted Section 7 by June 30th. First, on the details page on July 12th, and then on our public reporting website on July 25th. Please pay careful attention to these join by dates and the data download dates. LeapFrog requires all hospitals to download their reports on the same day that LeapFrog downloads the reports so we can ensure that they match and that there are no data discrepancies. There are instructions on downloading these reports, as well as a list of all of these dates and deadlines on the hospital survey website, leapfroggroup.org/hospital. And then finally, section 10. We added Section 10 to the hospital survey in 2019, the same year we launched the LeapFrog ASC survey. For the past several years, we've been collecting information on the volume of outpatient procedures and the safety of those procedures. And this year, we're adding 2 new CMS outcome measures. These measures apply to both hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers. We are therefore removing the fact-finding questions we formerly had on the survey regarding patient follow-up and replacing them with OP31, percentage of patients who had cataract surgery and had improvement in visual function within 90 days following the surgery. In OP32, the rate of unplanned hospital visits after an outpatient colonoscopy. We are aware that OP31 is still a voluntary measure through the CMS HOPD QR program, as well as the ASC QR program. However, LeapFrog feels this measure is a very important outcomes measure, and we are adding it to the survey so that those hospitals and ASCs that have been early adopters of this functional status survey will be able to see credit for that and have that information scored and publicly reported. We have published in the hard copy of the survey a schedule of data download dates. We will match your CMS data based on your hospital CCN that appears in the hospital profile section of the survey. The first data download date will be June 30th. And again, that information will be confidentially available on the details page on July 12th and publicly available on July 25th. The scoring algorithm for OP21 is described here. To achieve LeapFrog standard, your hospital will need to have an accurate CCN in the profile section so we can match your CMS data and had a measure score for this measure. And also reported volume for anterior segment I procedures in section 10C. Because this measure is voluntary, hospitals are going to receive full credit for having any score, regardless of the score, because we do want to reward and encourage greater administration of the visual function surveys. For OP32, rate of unplanned hospital visits after an outpatient colonoscopy, to achieve the standard, hospitals will again have to have that accurate CCN in the profile so we can match the data. Reported volume for lower GI endoscopy in section 10C and be in the top quartile of performance on the measure. The quartiles will be established based on both hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers that submit a survey by June 30th. So the quartiles will be set. We will update and republish the scoring algorithms document with those cut points. And the scoring and public reporting will be based on that information. As a reminder, LeapFrog typically freezes cut points used in scoring once they're established for up to 3 years. We would anticipate that doing that for this measure as well. So now that we've done an overview of the survey, the deadlines, the submission requirements, and some of the major changes, I want to take the last few minutes to talk a little bit about how survey results are used. Important to LeapFrog's mission, our results are used by our purchaser and employer members to educate and inform their health plan enrollees, to recognize and acknowledge hospitals and ASCs that achieve our national standards, and to negotiate contracts with their health plans. Consumers use LeapFrog's free public reporting website to compare hospitals and ASCs. Health plans, transparency vendors, and others that use survey results to design consumer education tools, perform market analysis, or inform contracting decisions actually license the data from LeapFrog. The revenue from the data license program is used to support the ongoing administration of the surveys and LeapFrog's data dissemination efforts. Our survey results are publicly reported on a website at ratings.leapfroggroup.org. On the website, users can search for hospitals and surgery centers by name, location, procedure type, or use a guided search function. Hospitals and ASCs that don't submit a survey by June 30th will be publicly reported as declined to respond on this website starting in July. Users can search for hospitals and ASCs that specifically perform adult and pediatric same-day surgeries using our procedure search. They can then compare up to 3 hospitals and ASCs at a time and actually receive the results side by side. In addition to public reporting, LeapFrog survey results are used to develop competitive benchmarking reports. Hospitals that submit a survey by June 30th will receive a free summary competitive benchmarking report, and you can obtain more detailed reports for a fee beginning in September and October of this year. Some of the measures on the Leapfrog Hospital Survey for general acute care hospitals are also used to calculate the hospital safety grade. The safety grade is a 22-measure composite. It, again, only applies to general acute care hospitals. But while it is a separate program, it uses some measures from the survey, specifically CPOE, BCMA, ICU physician staffing, the three NQF safe practices, the hand hygiene standard, and finally, for hospitals that join our NHSN group, your healthcare associated infection data. Otherwise, we would obtain those data directly from CMS. More information on the hospital survey measures included in the hospital safety grade are available in the survey overview document on our website. Survey results were also used to determine top hospitals. Leapfrog Top Hospital designation is our most prestigious designation. So for example, while over 800 hospitals may receive an A letter grade when we publish the grades later this spring, only about 100 hospitals a year receive a top hospital designation. It is the premier hospital award. The highest performing hospitals are recognized specifically for their performance on the Leapfrog Hospital Survey. Top hospitals are publicized in a national press announcement and invited to participate in either a virtual award ceremony or prior to COVID-19, an in-person award ceremony. The list of top hospitals are available on our website, as well as the 2021 methodology in a video that features many of our top hospitals talking about their experience in participating in the Leapfrog Hospital Survey. Again, top hospitals are given out in four separate categories, including children's hospitals, which aren't eligible for a safety grade, rural hospitals, including critical access hospitals, as well as general hospitals and teaching hospitals. So let's get ready for 2022. Make sure you have your 16-digit security code. Don't wait until the deadline to request a code. The help desk is very, very busy leading up to June 30th. So if you do not have a copy of your security code, submit a security code request today. Download the survey materials. It's extremely important to review not only the hard copy of the survey, including the reporting periods, questions, and measure specifications, but also additional survey materials we make available on our website and the scoring algorithms document. We urge hospitals to complete a hard copy of the survey and then use the scoring algorithms document to actually determine their performance on each of the measures. We don't want hospitals to be surprised when they see their survey results, and that's why we make all of the information available for you to calculate those scores yourself. We offer several free resources for hospitals, including a help desk that is staffed from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on all regular business days. Help desk tickets are responded to within 1 to 2 business days, but many are answered even within a couple hours. We offer free town hall calls like the one today. We have additional town hall calls that we'll be scheduling later this survey cycle. Town hall calls are free, and there is information to register for them on our website. We publish case studies every year. The case studies are designed to really help hospitals understand how their peers have achieved Leapfrog standards. We have case studies on never events. We have case studies on some of the maternity care measures and even ICU physician staffing. And then finally, we offer a binder. The binder is available to collect, organize, and record information during the completion of the survey. You can download it free on our website. It's a great way to ensure that you have the documentation that you need should you be selected for Leapfrog's monthly random documentation requests. So if you get selected, instead of searching high and low, where did we find that report? Keep everything organized in your Leapfrog survey binder. We include in the binder examples of documentation that we'll be requesting for several of the measures, including CPOE, ICU physician staffing, the NQF safe practices, hand hygiene, BCMA, and many others. Even if you're not going to use the binder to collect and store your information, it's a good idea to review some of the documentation examples. We also have some paid resources. So again, we have lots of free resources, but for hospitals that need a little bit more intense technical assistance. We offer two paid resources, meaning we charge for you to participate in these. The first is a monthly webinar series. It's held from March to December, and it's designed for hospitals that want a more interactive presentation of survey materials and information. The monthly webinars use a moderated call line. And so you actually call in each month, and we have a live Q&A where an operator comes on and you're able to actually ask questions of whoever is hosting that particular topic, as well as other hospitals on the call. If you join the monthly webinar series, you have access to an online library where you can download for your own information any of the presentations and recordings from previous months. So that means even if you join this month, you'll be able to get the materials, including the presentation and recording from March. The second paid resource we just announced, it's a deep dive series. This is going to be a virtual series that will include 4 3-hour long intensive webinars focused on various sections of the survey. For the deep dive sessions, we're not using a moderated call line. So there's no live Q&A where you can verbally ask a question. Instead, we're going to be using the Zoom Q&A function like we did today. And there's going to be live help desk support throughout the session. All of the sessions are held prior to June 30th. This means that these deep dive sessions are intensives that are specifically designed to help hospitals who may be new to a section of the survey or new to the survey or have a lot of questions about a particular section, get a very deep overview of that section of the survey prior to the June 30th submission. The first session, which will be offered in May, is going to focus on the NQF safe practices and the hand hygiene standard. That's it for that session. Next, we're going to talk about medication safety, including CPOE, BCMA, and medication reconciliation. The third session will focus on both inpatient and outpatient surgery, so section 3 and section 10. And then finally, we're going to do our last session on specialty care, which will include maternity care, section 4, ICU physician staffing, section 5, and finally, pediatric care, section 9. You can register for both the monthly webinar series and our deep dive series on our website. And again, the deep dive series was just announced via an electronic newsletter. So register as soon as possible. We are capping registration at 100 so that we can give a lot of help desk support throughout those sessions to the participants. So sessions like today, we have over 500 participants joining us. The deep dive series will be limited to just 100. So people we are anticipating will be asking a lot of questions of our live help desk throughout those sessions. So I want to thank everyone so much for joining us today. As always, if you have additional questions or if you had questions about something that I didn't cover today, please contact our help desk at leapfroghelpdesk.zendesk.com. I'm going to pause for just a minute and check the Q&A to see if there's any questions waiting to be answered in the live session. So I do see a question. It says for section 8B, medication reconciliation, the reporting time period is the most recent 6 months prior to survey submission. If I submit the section in May, can the data be November to April? If I submit in June, can the data be December to May? So for section 8B medication reconciliation, hospitals who are sampling on a quarterly basis, on a continual quarterly basis, can use data that they've already collected. So if your hospital started doing quarterly sampling of patients last year and continue that to the survey cycle, you can use the most recent 2 quarters of data. Otherwise, we expect that you will be doing the data collection in real time. So anytime between April 1st and when you submit the survey. If you have any questions about that, please contact the help desk and we're happy to schedule a quick call to go over that with you. One reminder is that the slides will be available as well as the recording on the webinar registration page starting tomorrow. And so if you go to leapfroggroup.org tomorrow, go to the hospital survey and materials section of the website, you'll see a link to get help. And that's where you registered for this webinar. And you'll go back there and you'll see a link to download both the slides and the recording. There's a question about whether or not a transcript of the Q&A will be made available after the call. We will see if we can access that from Zoom. If we are able to access that, we will post that with the slides and the recording. I'm not sure if that's something that we have the capability to do. I see another question about how hospitals who don't perform cataract procedures will be scored and publicly reported for OP31. If you don't do cataract procedures or you don't do colonoscopies, for OP31 and OP32, you'll be scored and publicly reported as does not apply. I see another question asking whether the deep dive sessions are paid or free. The deep dive sessions are a paid resource. So our free resources include our help desk, our town hall calls, our case studies, and the survey binder. The monthly webinar series and the deep dive series are paid. So when you go on our website, you'll see that there's a fee to attend those particular sessions. I want to thank you all so much for joining us today. I know this was a lot of information to cover in a short period of time. I hope you got most of your questions answered today. If not, as a reminder, please do follow up with our help desk. As always, thank you for your commitment to both transparency and patient safety, which you demonstrate through your participation in our annual hospital survey. We hope you have a great rest of your day, and the recording and these slides will be available for download tomorrow. Thanks so much.